The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said Anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madri channel, one of our pious predecessors, he was an expert cloth maker, and it was profession of his family. It is said that once he made a wonderful piece of cloth and took it to the marketplace for selling it. He went to a shop and then he put that piece of garment in front of that shop owner. And that shop owner was also expert, and he was more expert than him. He started examining, or he started turning that piece of cloth up and down, and at the very first glance he came to know about many defects, faults or mistakes in that piece of cloth. And one by one he started mentioning all those faults. The Buzurg who came to sell that piece of cloth started crying. That shop owner said, Baba ji, you must not cry. Whatever price you want from me, I will pay you. That Buzurg, he said that I am not crying, that I was expecting a price and then you are going to pay me less than that. But I am crying that I am expert of cloth making. And then this expertise was passed on to me from my previous generation, and from many generations we are working. But today, when I presented that piece of cloth which I made with full expertise and with my skill, then the one who was more expert than me, he by the very first glance was able to find out the fault and defect. So this is reminding me of the day of judgment, that on the day of judgment, my amals, my good deeds or my actions will be presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal, who knows details of each and everything, who knows ins and outs of everything, He will expose the faults and defects in my amal and good actions. And that day will be day of embarrassment for me. Dear viewers of Madri channel, this is self-assessment. And it has been, and it was habit of our pious predecessors that they would assess themselves at the end of every day. It is written in the biography of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that every night he would hit on his foot with a hunter and would say that, O my nafs, tell me what you did today. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once I heard Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind the wall, he was addressing his nafs and saying, Wah, people call you Amirul Mumineen, but what is your condition, O my nafs? You don't fear Allah. And listen to me, if you don't fear Allah, on the day of judgment, you will have to pay the punishment and atonement of Allah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers of Madri channel, firstly, we are not pious. And if by the tawfiq of Allah Almighty, if any one of us is able to do a good action, then it is devoid of ikhlas. And if that amal is full of ikhlas, still that person, when sits with someone, starts showing off, starts telling about the good action which he has done. And in this way, he is showing off. The viewers of Madani Channel, self-assessment is one of the vital components of a Muslim's character. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. O people, assess yourself before the day of judgment when your actions will be assessed. So each and every one of us must assess ourselves. And the best form of assessment is Madani Inamat, a booklet which is actually a questionnaire in which Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhul Aliyah put all those questions which are important in the life of a Muslim. So if you have habit of filling Madani Inamat card, then congratulations. And if you don't know Madani Inamat, or you know but you are not filling, then I request all of you that please don't waste your time. Buy the Madani Inamat booklet and start filling it. As you know, in our silsila Blessings of Islam, in this silsila, Mufti Muhammad Qasim Al-Attari Al-Madani is always with us. And in this question and answer session, Mufti Saab grants the pearls of wisdom and educates us in different regards. So let's start today's program, today's silsila, and ask Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, when we say that so-and-so person is a religious person, a practicing Muslim, so from Islamic point of view, what do you mean, what we mean when we say so-and-so person is religious or a practicing Muslim?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The meaning of practicing Muslim, we can come to know when we should be aware of our belief. What is that regarding Islam? We believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted religion Islam as a comprehensive religion. And that is only religion which is accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If anyone search for any other religion, that would be accepted in the court of Allah. So when Islam is a comprehensive religion, so that person who will follow all the commandments of that religion, that person would be considered as a religious person, as practicing Muslim. So practicing Muslim, if in a few words, if we define that, so we would say that person is a practicing Muslim who follows commandments of Sharia and who tries to fulfill his religious responsibilities and who is headed towards Akhirah. That person is a practical Muslim, he is a practicing Muslim and he is a religious Muslim. But there should be some detail as well, because these two or three words, a knowledgeable person can understand the meaning of these three words, but for a common people, there should be detail. What is that detail? So basically, Islamic commandments are many kinds. The first kind is our beliefs, the beliefs of Islam. What do we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal? What we believe in the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And what we believe in other prophets? What we believe in books of Allah? And what we believe in paradise and hell and in the day of judgment? So the beliefs of a person must be right according to Quran and Hadith. And that must be proven from Quran and Hadith. The beliefs of a person must be proven from Quran and Hadith. That is the first condition. Without that, a person never be considered as a religious and as a practicing Muslim, though he follows other commandments of Sharia in his whole life. But without sound beliefs, without right beliefs, a person can't be considered as a religious person. The first thing. The second thing is that a person should fulfill his religious obligations and religious faraiz and wajibat. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has made fard and wajib upon a person must fulfill those duties. And what are those duties? So commonly, those are known commonly to the common people as well as offering prayer and paying zakah and performing hajj and observing fast and some other duties as well. So the second thing is to fulfill our religious responsibilities. The third thing is to abstain from sins, because abstaining from sins is also essential for becoming a practicing Muslim. If a person offers 5-time prayer and he fulfills other duties and he remains indulged in doing worships, but he doesn't abstain from sins, that person, though apparently and in the opinion of people, that person might be considered as a religious person, but in the court of Allah, according to the commandments of Quran and Hadith, in the light of Quran and Hadith, that person is not a religious person and he is not a practicing Muslim. The fourth thing is that the person should enjoin upon others people as well to do good deeds and to abstain from sins, because that is the duty of every Muslim to prevent other people from committing sins and to order other people to do good deeds. That is the responsibility of every Muslim as well. So that's why practicing Muslim will fulfill this duty as well. That is the fourth thing. The fifth thing is to observe the manners of Islam, means to act upon the manners of Islam which belong to our common life, our daily life, our routine life, in eating something, in drinking something, in going somewhere, in traveling, in visiting any sick person, in all the aspects of life, in all the activities of our life, what we do in our life, in all those aspects of life, a person should act upon the manners of Islam. Those manners should be appear from the character and from the conduct of that person. These are five things. And it is very important to know the real definition of a religious person and a practicing Muslim, as I have mentioned now. Why? Because the people have misconceptions regarding that. But when we read Quran and Hadith, we come to know really that is the meaning of religious and practicing Muslim. As Allah, if we go to the verses of the Holy Quran, so there are many verses in which Allah has mentioned all these things. For example, there is one surah, Suratul Asr. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in that surah, "Wal Asri innal insana lafi khusr." By the time, indeed, human beings are in the state of loss. "Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat," except those people who believe and do good deeds. "Watawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr," and they advise each other to accept truth and to be steadfast upon religion, or to be patient in the times of calamity. So now in this ayah, Allah has mentioned three qualities. The first quality is their iman. "Illa alladhina amanu," all the people are in the state of loss, but those people who are believers. So the first condition is being believer. The second condition Allah mentioned, "Wa amilu salihat," they do good deeds. So doing good deeds is also compulsory for a person to become a religious Muslim. And the third condition Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, "Watawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr," they not only act upon the commandments of Sharia themselves, they enjoin upon other people as well. Okay, so they advise other people accept haq and to be steadfast over religion. These are three conditions which have been mentioned in this ayah. And if we go to another ayah, we study another ayah, another condition what I have mentioned now, that is mentioned in that ayah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, the successful Muslim, the successful mu'min, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un walladhina hum 'anil laghwi mu'ridun." Those mu'min are successful who observe khushu and khuzu in their prayer, and who abstain or avoid those things which are useless. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ, they turn away from useless things. Then Allah mentioned some other things regarding prayer, regarding some personal actions of a person. Then Allah mentioned in that ayah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, who save their private parts from committing adultery and fornication and bad deeds. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, and who remain truthful in their trust and in their promises. So it means the manners, they are also in our Sharia, and to abstain from sins, that is compulsory for a religious person as well. As Allah Azza wa Jal in the beginning of this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, get successful those believers who observe khushu and khuzu in their prayer. And now Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning another quality of these Muslims, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, who protect, who save their private parts from fornication and adultery. So it means abstaining from sins and doing good deeds, and fulfilling the commandments of Islam and observing the manners of Islam in their life. All these things are the qualities of that person who is a religious and practicing Muslim. So that's why not only in our private life, in our social life as well. If we say this thing in another word, we would say that person is practicing Muslim who fulfills the rights of Allah and the rights of human being. Means the person is practicing Muslim in his private life as well as in his social life. So he follows all the commandments of Sharia, whether those commandments belong to rights of Allah or belong to the rights of people. So that is the whole definition of a practicing Muslim and a religious Muslim.
Yeah. Acha Mufti sir, before moving to the next question, you just recited verses of Quran. So there is a proper sequence or order that Allah Azza wa Jal made mention of Salah and Khushu in Salah before everything. So my question is that what is the wisdom or reason behind this proper sequence that Salah was mentioned before everything else?
In that way, we need the commentary of that Ruku and the Surah. But basically, because offering prayer is a pillar of Islam, okay? And that is the basic commandment of Islam. And it has impact over the life of a Muslim, but not ordinary prayer. That prayer which carries khushu and khuzu, that prayer has impact over the life of a Muslim, because when a person offers prayer, so that time in some ways he considers himself in the court of Allah, and he do muraqabah and mushahada in his prayer. So when he does that meditation and he does that consideration again and again, so that thought and that consideration takes place in the mind of that person, that Allah Azza wa Jal is observing me every time. That's why prayer is not offered in one time a day. That is offered in different five times, so that when a person gets busy in worldly matters, in worldly affairs, in his business, but after a few hours, he should again go to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he should purify his mind again, and he should get that consideration in his mind again, so that again and again, when he gets that consideration, so that consideration becomes a part of his mind, becomes a part of his thoughts, becomes a part of his life, that he will observe Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal in spiritual way every time. And then whatever he will do, so he will pay attention towards that consideration, and then he will do something. So that's why first of all Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned offering prayer.
Dear viewers of Madri channel, from the answer of Mufti Saab, what we can learn is that Salah is one of the most important actions in the life of Muslim. And then Salah has a strong impact on the character of a Muslim. A Muslim cannot build his character unless he is punctual in his Salah. And it is Salah who takes a Muslim closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then a day comes when that Muslim who is punctual in his Salah becomes beloved of Allah. So dear viewers of Madani channel, wherever you are listening to us, the very first message which I want to the very important message which I want to give you is that please be punctual in your salat. Indeed, the very first question which a Muslim is going to be asked on the Day of Judgment is the question of salah. And if your salah is perfect, so inshallah your other deeds will also get perfect by the mercy of Almighty Allah. Achha, Mufti Sahab, we just discussed practicing Muslim and being religious. On the contrary, when we say so and so person is non-practicing Muslim or he is not a religious person, so speaking from Islamic point of view, what do we mean when we say that so and so person is not a practicing Muslim?
The literal meaning of non-practicing Muslim is that person who is stuck in worldly matters, in worldly affairs. So that person is non-religious person.
Like Duniyadar in Urdu.
Yeah. And in the terms of Sharia, that person who prefers the life of this world over the life of hereafter, and who has been indulged in the love with this world, and who is very heedless in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that person is considered as non-practicing Muslim according to Quran and Hadith. And that kind of negligence and heedlessness, when a person prefers the life of this world over hereafter, and he is indulged in the love with this world, so this love with world can lead a person to disbelief sometimes, to commit sins, and to away from his religious duties, and sometimes away from the from desirable things. So every kind of example is available, is written in books. For example, the example of Qarun had been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And he is the worst example of those people who have been indulged in love with this world, and how much he was indulged in worldly love. So he was given a lot of wealth, and he was given a lot of gold and silver and diamond and this and that, every kind of wealth he has been given. But what did he say after having all this wealth? Though before that he was a religious person. Before that he was a religious person and he was in the nation of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But when he was given all that wealth, he claimed, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I have been given all this wealth because of that knowledge what I have. So I have been given this wealth because of that knowledge what I have. It means he didn't affiliate granting that wealth to Allah Azza wa Jal. He claimed that because he was a knowledgeable person and he had some certain knowledge, because of that he had got all that wealth. And due to the love of that wealth, he rejected paying zakah, he denied to pay zakah, and he considered that paying zakah as a tax. And he denied to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that I will never pay that tax, because it is too much, because his wealth was too much, so the zakah was also too much, and he denied to pay that zakah. So that is the example of those people who are indulged in the love of this world, and because of that, they can commit kufr. Because that person, he denied in front of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he rejected the commandment of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Due to that, he became kafir. And even in this world, he reached to his end. He reached to his worst end in this world. So the thing I was saying, the love of this world and being negligent and being heedless in religion can lead a person towards disbelief. And some people who commit sins and who don't offer their religious duties due to the love of this world and due to their heedlessness, as we observe nowadays, how many people, they are running business, and because of their business they can't offer prayer because they don't have time for that. They don't fulfill their other duties. Even there are many people who can pay zakah very easily, but because they are too much wealthy people, so when they count the amount of their zakah, so they consider that they're too much. So they say, no, we can't pay that zakah without getting any benefit, without getting any worldly benefit from people. So how can we pay too much? well to other people. Why this takes place? Because of their heedlessness and because of their love with this world. And that love with world is basically non-religiousness. And that is the main symbol and sign of those people. Otherwise, those people who are really religious people and who are practicing Mu'min and Muslims, so though they have wealth and they have knowledge and they have the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, but what would be their statement and what would be their saying when they are asked regarding their wealth and regarding their excellences? So they will use the word what Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned regarding Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he showed the beautiful miracle and miracle. So that time what he said, Hada min fadli rabbi, this is because of the favor of my Lord. So he has shown that excellence and that miracle, but after that he is saying, this is the favor of my Lord. And that person who was indulged in the loving world, though he was given all that wealth from Allah Azza wa Jal, but he claimed that I have been given all that wealth because of my knowledge. So that is the difference between a practicing Mu'min and Muslim and between a non-practicing person.
Wonderful. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, what a beautiful answer from Mufti Saab. In very simple words, he said that a Muslim, whenever he has a favor of Almighty Allah, a bounty from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, he does not ascribe that bounty to his nafs, but he says that this bounty and this favor is only and only from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And on the other hand, a worldly person, whatever he earns, he thinks that I am earning, or whatever bounty he receives or favor he receives, he says that this is just by dint of my own hard working or my knowledge. So you are a practicing Muslim, and being a practicing Muslim, you are supposed to ascribe each and every bounty and favor to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Every neki, every good thing is from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and everything which is bad, every action which is bad, that is from our nafs. Acha Mufti Saab, very beautifully you summarized being religious and being non-religious, being a practicing Muslim and being non-practicing Muslim. So my question is that these two qualities can gather in a person, in one person, in a single individual.
Basically, these two terms are opposite to each other. In their basic meaning, in their real meaning, they are opposite to each other. Because practicing Muslim is one who prefers the life of hereafter over this world. And non-practicing is that person who prefers the life of this world over Akhirah. The first person, the practicing, is one who is indulged in love with Allah and in love with Akhirah. And the non-practicing is one who is indulged in the love with this world. So that's why basically the main meaning of these two terms are opposite to each other. But sometimes it happens, in some ways a person is religious and in another way he is not religious. So as we observe many people, so they are considered as religious people because of their worships, because of their charity, because of their recitation and some other good deeds. And according to the real definition of Sharia, they are not proper religious, they are not complete, they are not proper practicing Muslim. According to Islamic term, they are not practicing Muslim. So for these people, so it would be in the hand of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, if Allah Azza wa Jal shows His mercy upon these people, so He will forgive them. And if Allah Azza wa Jal will give them punishment, so it would be the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in one ayah, خَلَطُوا عَمَدًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيَّا. They have mixed good deeds and bad deeds. So what would be the end of these people? Asallahu an yatuba alayhim. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the word asallahu. There are chances. That is not confirmed that Allah Azza wa Jal will shower His mercy upon these people. Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning asallahu an yatuba alayhim. Might be Allah will turn towards them with His mercies. with his blessings. Might be Allah Azzawajal will accept the repentance. So now the matter would be in the court of Allah Azzawajal. Might be Allah Azzawajal will forgive them, and might be Allah Azzawajal will not forgive them. So that's why these kind of people should be fearful, because their matter is not clear. Those people who are proper practicing, so there are promises of Allah Azzawajal with those people. And those people who are totally indulged in sins and in committing bad deeds, so they are matter according to verses, their matter is clear. But the main thing is the mercy of Allah Azzawajal, is the fadl of Allah Azzawajal. But those people who are mixing both kind of deeds and actions, so for those people, particularly Allah Azzawajal said, Asallahu an yutub alayhim, there are chances that Allah Azzawajal
will grant
that is not the translation of that ayah. Basically, the meaning of that ayah is, might be Allah Azza wa Jal will turn towards them with his mercies and blessings. So their matter is in
the book. Acha Mufti Sahab, another thing which has been observed in our society, that when religious people, they say that so and so person is a practicing Muslim, so they have different meaning. They mean something different. But when common people in our society who are not religious person, when they pass the comments or remarks about someone that so and so person is a religious person, a practicing Muslim, so they mean something else. So my question is there any difference between these two usages? One is from the religious people and other is from common people.
There are many definitions in the minds of people, and basically they are their point of views, they are their own opinions. We have to focus upon that definition which has been proven from Quran and Hadith and from our pious predecessors. So whatever they have mentioned, means Quran and Hadith and our Salaf Salihin, what they have mentioned, that is perfect definition of practicing Muslim. Otherwise, the people, there are many kind of people in this world, and they have their opinion and points of view. So they might be, they might take some other meanings. What is the true definition of practicing Muslim? We have mentioned that. Okay, if we summarize that, so we would say that person who fulfills the rights of Allah as well as the rights of people, that person is, and he and his beliefs are right as well. So that person is a practicing Muslim. But in the opinion of common religious people, those are not knowledgeable people. The first definition is according to those people who are knowledgeable, who are scholars, because they have the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, so that's why their definition would be perfect. But those people who are commonly religious people, as those people go to masjid, they offer Taraweeh or they observe fast and they go for Hajj as well. So in the opinion of those people, the practicing Muslim is one who offers prayer, who goes for Hajj, who pays his zakah, who recites the Holy Quran, and who recites some tasbihat, and who recites some durood. So if he does these things and these good deeds, that person is a religious person and he is a practicing Muslim in their sight, in their opinion. And in the opinion of those people who are different from these two, they are not commonly religious people, they are not common religious people, and they are not knowledgeable people, means Islamic knowledgeable people. They are worldly people. According to the opinion of these people, practicing person is one who fulfill the rights of human being. And what about the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal? So they don't care for that. They don't have any care for that. In their opinion, the one who fulfills the rights of people and who is well mannered, and his conduct in front of people is good, and he is a sociable person, so that person is a practicing person. And though he doesn't offer prayer, doesn't pay zakat, doesn't perform hajj, doesn't observe fast, but just his behavior and his being well-wisher of people, that is enough for being a practicing Muslim. So that is the third point of view. And basically these are the point of view. Otherwise, for the common people who are totally ignorant and who are totally non-practicing, they say just earning our livelihood and just run our family and to make our children married. So that is our whole religion. Going to Hajj and going to Masjid, so those are out of their mind. So in their opinion, so basically that is not opinion. That is just heedlessness and that is total negligence. That is ignorance and heedlessness and negligence. But there is a difference between the second definition having people and the third definition having people. Why? What? The second people who are common religious people and who consider just doing worship deeds person as a religious people. Those people do good deeds, they do worship, but they do worship for Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't offer prayer for any other person. They don't pay zakah for becoming a generous person in front of people. They do all those worships for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the third kind of people who focuses upon their charity, upon their services to humanity, they don't do those activities for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of them might do those activities for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, but most of them do those activities if they give something in charity, if they help some needy people. So they do those activities only for humanity, not for the sake of Allah. In their mind, there is only humanity, that we are human being, we love humanity, and we are humanist, not in the meaning of atheist, in the common meaning. So they do those activities just for their own satisfaction. And they do those activities just for humanity, not for the sake of Allah. So in that way, the activities, the actions of these third kind of people is totally useless in the court of Allah, because they haven't done those activities for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give reward of those good deeds which have been done for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Otherwise, the people would be presented in the court of Allah and they would be generous. They would pay charity a lot, and they have been martyred in the path of Allah, but their intention would be for the sake of Allah. So all their deeds would be rejected in the court of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, now I want to draw your attention towards a very serious matter, and that is the matter of intention. Whatever you are doing, do it only for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not do it for sake of others. You do not try to show others that I am doing such and such good deed or neki. Everything which you do, do only for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and only those amals will be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal which are done for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to have ikhlas and sincerity in our each and every action. Acha Mohd Sahib, you were just mentioning some people who are more concerned with hukukul ibad type of thing, like human rights, and they say that the real Muslim is that who is very soft spoken, very polite, behaves in a good way, cares for others. So they only see this aspect, but they totally, you know, reject, or they are heedless of the aspect of hukukullah, salah, or these basic things. So these people, they even reject the basics of Islam, those commandments which are unanimously or universally accepted by the Muslims. They even reject these commandments as well. So what is the commandment of Sharia regarding these people who are more concerned with the humanity, as you said, or hukukul ibad, but they are totally heedless of the hukukullah Azza wa Jal?
Yet there are many people who have that kind of mentality and mindset. So the reason is their ignorance. Otherwise, a knowledgeable Muslim, a scholar, can't deny these things, what they claim as a practicing Muslim, what they claim, no scholar can deny that. Because these are the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to feed a needy person and to help a poor person and to be smiling face person and to have good behavior with our other people. So these are the qualities of a Muslim, and these are the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why these are considered as our religious actions. But those people who consider only these things as a religion and they deny the basics of Islam, so they are totally wrong, and that denial can lead these person towards kufr. Because sometimes when these kind of people speak, so they speak in a very wrong way. They deny many basics of Islam. Sometimes they criticize offering prayer. Sometimes they criticize those people who go to masjid punctually. Those people go to masjid, so they criticize these people. Those people who focus upon reciting the Holy Quran, and they recite the Holy Quran too much, so these people criticize those people. So if that kind of criticism is, so then it would be disbelief, it would be kufr, because criticizing any basics of Islam, which is one of the essentials of Islam, that is disbelief. So that's why the mentality of these kind of people is very wrong and totally against the commandments of Islam. Otherwise, if they have logic and wisdom, and if they have Islamic knowledge, they come to know the things what they say, those are also the commandments of Islam, and those are also the commandments of Sharia, and those are also the sunnah of their Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Musab, these type of people, when we tell them any commandment of Sharia, so they say that once we have become Muslim, after that any fatwa or any verdict
can declare us as
any verdict or any fatwa can't declare us kafir. So Muslim is Muslim no matter whatever he is doing. So this opinion is right according to Islam or not?
So in some ways we also say these words, that when a person has become Muslim, he is Muslim until he deny any essentials of Islam. So if a person commits any sin, as ma'adallah fornication or consuming interest or any other sin, so he doesn't become kafir. Due to committing a sin, a person can't become kafir. That is the commandment of Islam. We can't declare any person as non-believer until he is Muslim and until he is claiming to be a Muslim. But if a person denies any essential of Islam, so then the matter would be different. When he denies the essential of Islam, any essential of Islam, then he will be considered as kafir. Otherwise, it means a person can't become kafir when he has accepted Islam. And that is against the command, that is against the verses of the Holy Quran. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَيْكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Who turns back from his religion and he dies while he is kafir. So it means there is chance and there is likelihood that a person who accepted Islam, but after accepting Islam he can become kafir, though he doesn't intend for that. He is not making intention to become kafir, but when he denies any essential of Islam, he would become kafir. But that is very sensitive matter. That is the most sensitive matter. To declare a Muslim as kafir. So that's why in general words we can't say anything regarding those people who deny any things like that. So we will take case one by one, and then we will see the meanings of his statement, then we will ask the intention of that person, then we can issue any fatwa regarding that. But those people who do that, because there are chances that their statement is totally against the commandment of Quran and Hadith, and though they are not aware of that, but when they deny any essential of Islam, there are chances to become kafir. So that's why they should be careful. They must be careful, because that is the matter of their religion, that is the matter of their belief, that is the matter of their akhirah. So when the matter is so sensitive, so they must be careful. Otherwise, we can't declare any person as a kafir until we have got all the details of that person and of that the statement of that person.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, what I have learned from the answer of Mufti Sahab, that some people, they are just propagating that Maulanas, they very easily and very quickly declare anyone kafir who says something against them. So to say someone kafir, to declare someone kafir, is a very sensitive matter. And Muftiyan-e-Kiram and Ulama-e-Kiram, they are very much sensitive in this regard, that they don't declare anyone kafir. They have to do a proper research, and after that they reach a conclusion, and then they say something. So if someone is doing propagation in this way, so this propagation is totally wrong. Achha, Mutsab, there are some people who are very well educated, living very luxurious life, you know, traveling in very expensive cars, living in big mansions, but still, alhamdulillah, they are practicing Muslim. In this way they are there. In this way that they are offering 5 times salah, they are observing fast, they are fulfilling farais and wajibat. So my question is that these type of people who are living very luxury life, so can they be called deendar or practicing Muslim in spite of having all these things?
In our early programs, we have discussed this matter, that just being wealthy and being rich is not against of being a practicing Muslim. There are many prophets who are rulers, who are kings, as Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So they were rulers of their time, and there were many sahaba-i kiram who were very rich, as Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and some other companions, including Ashara Mubashara. They were rich people. So their richness and their wealth was not against them being a practicing Muslim. They were the leaders of practicing Muslim. The main thing is only one, which what Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. O believers, your wealth and your children must not divert you from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So main thing is this, that if we are rich, if we are wealthy, our wealth and our richness must not divert us from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and must not make us heedless in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is the main thing. Otherwise, collecting wealth, earning wealth, if that is not against Sharia, that is allowed. The Sharia has given permission for that. And sometimes when a person makes good intention, so that wealth and that richness might be his helper for doing good deeds and for giving charity in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. As if a person, for example, sometimes I think regarding some matters, if I travel by plane, if I am going to Lahore and I travel by plane, so if I travel by bus or train, it will take 16 hours or 17 hours or 18 hours. But if I travel by plane, so it will take just 1.5 hours. And after that, I can do my duties. I can fulfill my responsibilities. I would remain comfortable. And right after completing my journey, I can do all whatever I can do. I can do. But if I travel by train and by bus, so what would be my condition after that? So that's why it depends upon intention. If my intention in traveling by air is only that I can do my duties after completing my journey, so then that journey, though that is full of luxuries and that is very comfortable and convenient, but when I have made some good intentions, so that traveling would be an action of good deeds and the act of virtuousness. So that's why it depends upon intention. Sometimes people travel by train in first class, some people travel by third class. So what is the difference between these? In third class, for example, in our country, if we see, there wouldn't be any facility in that. There wouldn't be water there. We can't make a wuzu there. We can't offer our prayer properly. But if we travel by first class, there would be water available, we can make wuzu, we can offer prayer, we can study there because there would be light there. So we can do our worships when we are traveling in a comfortable way. So that's why luxuries and comforts and facilities and convenience, all these things depends upon the intention of a person. If the means of these comforts are halal, if the means of these comforts is halal, and then we adopt those comforts and convenience, and then we make good intentions, so that might be the action, that might be the act of virtuousness.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Sahab. Dear viewers of Madin Channel, what a beautiful answer from Mufti Sahab, that being rich, wealthy, and living luxurious life is not contrary to Islam and the teachings of Islam. The only thing is that when one is fulfilling Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad, and is also punctual in his faraiz and wajibat, so this thing is not against Islam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal make us real practicing Muslim and give us tawfiq to be punctual in our salas. Ameen, Ameen, Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.